Saint Boniface, Bishop and Martyr, pray for us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, there's quite a bit happening today. This first Friday of June is the day within the octave now, as we continue for a full week, the great, beautiful Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, Corpus Christi. Today we offer our First Friday Holy Communion in reparation to the Sacred Heart, just as our Lord requested. More confessions will be heard during Mass this morning. After Mass, we have our regular benediction of the Blessed Sacrament for our children at St. Gertrude the Great School. Today is their last day of school, and we wish you, all of you children, a very happy summer vacation, and we're sure that you'll remember at least some of the good lessons that you've learned this year, especially in church and in your daily sermon. Well, we have a good saint to send you off with, a good saint for all of you to keep your First Friday devotion. He is the patron saint of Germany, but more accurately we could say, and it sounds a curious thing to say for us, but he is the patron saint of a united Europe, because at one time Europe was really formed by just a few tribes, the Franks and the Saxons in particular, who came out of Germany. Saint Boniface lived in the early 700s, and when he was a boy, once upon a time, there were some missionary monks who stopped by to visit and spend the night on their travels and to have supper with the family. And Saint Boniface, as a youth, his baptismal name was Winfrid or Winfrith, but the Pope couldn't pronounce it because the Pope was Italian, and it was a hard sort of a German word for him, so he changed his name to Do-Gooder, Bonifacius, instead. That's how he gets the name of Boniface. Well, Boniface as a boy listened to these monks, the missionaries, about all the good that they were doing for God's glory, and about saving souls and getting to heaven and the love of Almighty God above all things, and that inspired him. So that his parents put him in the monastery school to be educated by the monks at a place called Nursing. And there he spent 30 years. In effect, he was, by his schooling, he was preparing and getting ready to be one of the greatest saints of all time, who would really make Christian Europe what it was by means of his missionary work. He was a teacher, first of all, before he went off to be a missionary, because being a teacher is a good preparation for these sorts of things, because as our teachers know, whether you're homeschool teachers or school teachers here, as you well know, sometimes the children can be sort of like little barbarians, and you have to be very brave and you have to persevere. Well, he knew his Bible very well. He loved the sacred scriptures, and everyone loved to listen to his sermons because they were full of the Bible and the explanations of the Holy Scripture. At the same time, our Lord gave him a wonderful personality. It was called a charismatic or a magnetic personality. He drew people to himself, not to start his own cult or his own, he wasn't a guru or something like that. No, no. It was all just to draw souls to Christ, because he was a monk and he didn't live for himself. He only lived for Jesus Christ and for the love of God and for saving souls. Well, after 30 years of being a monk, he got permission, he was a priest now, he got permission to go to Holland, to cross the water of the English Channel, and to go to Holland towards the north, and there he tried to convert some Saxons. Now, mind you, these Saxons were of the same blood as he was, because these tribes took over England, and so in a sense they were all cousins, except these cousins of his in Holland and Germany were many of them still ferocious pagans. Well, he wasn't very successful. Maybe he hadn't prepared himself well enough. Well, there was a war going on too. The pagans were fighting the Christians, and that made it difficult to persuade the pagans that they should become Christians anyway. And the Saxons were very fierce, barbarous warriors. So he was unsuccessful. But he didn't give up. He went home for a while to the monastery, and then he went to see the Pope the next time. Because if you're going to do something as a Catholic, you always want to have permission, if you possibly can. And the Pope gave him his permission, his blessing, and this new name of Bonifacius, Boniface. So then he went and he went with St. Willibrod, who was an experienced monk and missionary, and see, getting experience, getting permission, those are good ways to do things in life for Catholics. Well, St. Willibrod showed him how to do it, and they were successful together. They were so successful, St. Willibrod wanted him to stay in Holland, only he felt our Lord, no, he really wanted, our Lord did want him to go to Germany, where his people were from, to convert them, to become Christians. And so he went to Hesse, the state of Hesse, in what is the area of Hesse, in Germany, and there he started his great work. Sometimes he was very, very brave, and that made an impression on the fierce warriors. In particular, they worshipped a tree, a big, mighty oak tree, and they believed that if anybody even touched it, he would be slain by a thunderbolt from their pagan gods, especially their god Thor, whom they adored, false god, against the first commandment, right? Well, he very bravely, having said his prayers and fasted and everything, St. Boniface very bravely took the axe, and you know, he just hit it once, and the tree, with a mighty crash and roar, fell down to the earth, and then it split into four perfect parts. When the pagans saw this, they couldn't believe it, but they were converted because they saw the true power of the true God. And then St. Boniface used those four pieces of this oak tree to make wood, lumber, with which to build a chapel in honor of St. Peter in the same place. At the same time, sometimes, in addition to being very, very brave, he had to be very diplomatic. You know what it is to be diplomatic? Some of you don't, actually, but you should try to be diplomatic, which is to sort of do things peacefully and quietly and patiently and try to make it work and take people as they are, but bring them along closer to where they should be. Well, he was diplomatic with the great Charles Martel. He was an emperor who had driven out the Mohammedans. The Mohammedans were trying, they always are, they were trying to take over France, and they had gotten as far as the city of Poitiers in south-central France, and he and everyone else was praying for him and his armies, and Charles Martel was successful. But then he decided to give all of the churches and all of the monasteries to the generals of his army as war booty so they could get the money that came from the income of these places. Well, that wouldn't be any good at all to have warriors in charge of dioceses and abbeys and monasteries. And he had to be very diplomatic but firm to persuade this great emperor, no, Your Highness, this is not the way to do things. God does not want that. So he had to work with Catholics as well as with pagans, and he was successful in his work. He founded a great monastery and many dioceses throughout Germany and throughout all of Europe. Finally, when he was 74, when usually people are thinking about retiring, he didn't retire, but he thought, I want to do one more thing. How are they doing in Holland, he wondered. Are they keeping the faith? And then he found out that some of them had relapsed back into being pagans again. And so he, St. Boniface, got a little group of monks together, and they went back to that part of Holland in the north called Dokkum, and they started teaching the people all over again because some of them had forgotten how to be Christians. And he died as a martyr on the vigil of Pentecost. You know how we have our confirmation on that day? Well, that's the day he was giving out confirmation, and they didn't have churches in that part of the world, and so he and the other monks had built an outdoor chapel out of tree boughs, branches. And they had an altar, and everything was all set up and ready for Mass, and they were just waiting for the people to come to be confirmed, when all of a sudden they were surprised by a gang of barbarous Saxons who hated Christianity. And they right away, these barbarians did, they fell upon St. Boniface, and he was reading a beautiful copy of the Gospels. He had it in his hand like this. And St. Boniface realized that there was no sense resisting because they were armed and the monks weren't. So he told the monks and the missionaries and the bishops, he said, don't even fight back. Our Lord said that we shouldn't. let us commend our souls to God, and in your patience you shall possess your souls. Scripture says that. And so they did, because he didn't want them to be disturbed. He wanted them to have a good death and go straight to heaven as martyrs, all of them. And so they did. And the barbarian who saw St. Boniface with his book chopped his head off and went down with the sword and got the book. And we still have the book today as a wonderful, the book of the Gospels, as a wonderful example of the last thing he did. Well, would there be a lesson for all of us over the summer months? I think so. Two things, reading and writing. You might think, oh, children, that's just for school. No, it's for life. Reading. He was reading the best of all books, the Holy Bible. Do you ever do that? Or read your Bible history stories at least and know them and love them. Don't waste all of your time this summer. At least give some of it over to good reading and also to writing. He took care of all of these barbarian peoples, but he needed help. And just as, you know, we write to our missionaries in Nigeria and try to encourage Father Nkamuke and give him vestments and money and things that he needs for his missionary work, that's what St. Boniface did. He would write letters about his adventures, and he would say, remember, we're the same blood. We're all Saxons. Well, no, we're not the same blood as the Nigerians, even though they're honorary Irishmen. Nevertheless, we have the same Catholic faith that unites us together. We should remember our missionaries, and we should do what we can to help them all year round. In writing, he was a great letter writer, busy as he was. Usually we don't get around to writing much in the way of letters anymore, do we? But we should keep up letters. We should send thank you notes when the occasion presents itself, and we should stay in touch with others in order to spread God's kingdom. There's a couple of good practical resolutions, but most of all, this first Friday, let us pray for the reign of the Sacred Heart to extend from the altar throughout the whole world through us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.